Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. My name is Terry Fletcher. We appreciate having you this week. And this week, we are sponsored by Physicians Practice. Your practice, your way. A Physicians Practice magazine online at physicianspractice.com. We appreciate their sponsorship. Our topic for discussion for this week on our CodeCast is really looking at medical scribes. And we not only want to look at them from procedurally, you know, how to code for them, what actually they are providing, and is there a what we call a return on investment for scribes in your practice. It's different than having a mid-level provider. Mid-level providers, nurse practitioners, advanced practice nurses, physician assistants, they can all add and generate revenue on their own. They can go directly to Medicare and the payer and bill for things. But when you get into services that are what we call incidental or ancillary, meaning that you really need to utilize them and it's probably helpful to have them, is it an expense that you can afford to bring on? So we want to really take a look at that. And we're going to look at all aspects of it. So first, you know, talk about what is a scribe, really look at the definition, the compliance issues, the Medicare, you know, comments on it. Medicare actually has a position on it, believe it or not. You know, can they increase efficiency and quality of chart documentation? You know, how to calculate your return on investment if you choose to use a scribe in your practice. And then I'm going to give you some pros and cons. And you have to look at all aspects of that. And then hopefully by the time we're done today, you'll be able to have at least more of an informed discussion with your staff, with your board of directors, and should we bring on scribes as long as we can, you know, utilize them within the scope of practice that's allowed. Now, what is a scribe? Simplistically, basically, a scribe is anyone that enters information into the patient's record on behalf of the provider. Most practices use scribes already by this definition, but they may not just call them scribes, but that technically is what they're doing. Now, a medical scribe, just as far as definition's sake, we're going to continue with that discussion, is an unlicensed trained medical information manager. They specialize in charting physician and patient encounters in real time during medical exams. So when we talk about unlicensed, what I mean is they may be certified in, you know, documentation. So they could be a registered health information technician or a registered health information associate. Those are some credentials that I actually have myself, or they can be someone that is just certified in health information management, or not a licensed clinician per se, meaning that they are not a mid-level provider. We just want to be careful on that, or just a very trained person. They've taken, you know, classes that have to do with technology and information technology and anatomy and so on. So a scribe can work outside the hospital or clinic from a remote HIPAA secure facility. They can work on site, which is typically what is more allowed. A scribe enters information into the electronic health record or electronic medical record or chart at the direction of the physician or licensed independent practitioner. So they can also be scribes for your mid-level providers. But the use of the scribe, we have to really look at this. It allows the provider to spend more time with the patient. It ensures accurate documentation. But the scribe may not act independently, okay? So they can't have anything but what they're doing to assist the physician when it comes to documentation. So they document the physician or licensed independent practitioner's dictation and activities. There can be no evidence that the scribe is acting as a mid-level provider. They're more of a facilitator of the information flow. And as long as you can really wrap your head around that, you know, scribes also assist the physician or licensed independent practitioner in navigating the EMR. You know, sometimes a lot of practices who have just put in an electronic health record into their location, the doctors have a hard time locating information such as test results or lab results before, during, and after the visit. So they can support workflow and documentation, again, for medical record recording. But let's take a look and see, you know, what are their duties? So, you know, it's harder to say in a nutshell, this is what they do, but you really have to understand what a scribe is to decide if it's a personnel that you want to take on as far as the expense. And we'll look at that in a little bit. So it's transcribing details. So this is a part of their duties. The physical exam and patient orders. This would include any lab tests, imaging tests, or medications ordered by the physician. They may also be present to record a physician's consultation with a patient and family members on a specific case. The physician now needs to make sure the scribe is introduced to the patient and all present at the encounter are comfortable with having a scribe in the room, and that there's HIPAA compliance, meaning they understand that, and that they're there in a non-clinical role. I can't say that too much because I've just seen some physicians say, well, they were just acting as my scribe to try and get around using an RN or a nurse practitioner in an ill-informed way. So a scribe is different. They document procedures performed by the physician, including nurses and physician assistants. They check the progress of and reviewing x-rays, labs, other patient evaluation data for comparison. They transcribe the results into the patient's chart, either by typing it in, writing it in. So, I mean, some practices, believe it or not, are still using paper charts. And the patient's workup is then complete. And the physician can make, good sound judgment calls based on complete documentation. The other thing this does, and which is really nice, is that the doctor doesn't always have to look down now into their computer. You know, I'm seeing a lot of physicians, almost buried into their, they call them pods, in their office, documenting into the medical record. It looks like a mini iPad. And so when they're documenting this, they don't have that face-to-face with the patient. I'm not seeing that, that touch, that personal, touch. And it really can do that, especially if you're looking for positive outcomes from your patients. The other thing is, when they're checking information, a recording physician dictated diagnoses, prescriptions, instructions for patient discharge and follow-up. Excuse me. Recording a provider's consultations with other healthcare professionals. That's something that I think is missed sometimes. Scribes should also have a number of skills to adequately perform the job duties. So here's what I would recommend, because I would not hire a scribe unless they had shown me through either the process of, when they show up and, they're trying to get the job or interview. Sorry, lost my train of thought there. Or if they can actually tell you when you're doing something over the phone or when you're dealing with them online, do they have knowledge of medical terminology, and give them a quiz for your specialty. Recognition of the physical exam process and ability to record exam details, record them. Computer proficiency. This is pretty big. They need to have the ability to learn new applications pretty quickly, understand different electronic medical record and electronic health record formats, legible handwriting and ability to accurately record information, good organizational skills, focus on tracking patient care and improving patient flow. One of the biggest things is professional demeanor, presenting good presentation. They need to recognize privacy considerations for HIPAA, for patients and family, and also the ability to multitask and act calmly in busy or stressful situations. I hate to use the term they need to ghost the physician. It is a shadowing, but you almost don't want to even know they're there. They're basically a fancy way of being a transcriptionist. They're basically a live transcriptionist for the physician. There are signature requirements that the Joint Commission uses for accreditation. They include signing, including name and title, dating of all entries into the medical record. The role and signature of the scribe must be clearly identifiable and distinguishable from that of the physician or licensed independent practitioner. Now, here's something that's important. This comes out, again, the Joint Commission. The scribe cannot enter the date and time for the physician. So the example, you can have, quote, scribed for Dr. Smith by, in the name of the scribe and title, unquote, with the date and time of the entry. And they're looking at a lot of these date and times now as well, because, as an auditor, I'm seeing this all the time. The physician or licensed practitioner, independent practitioner, must authenticate the entry by signing, dating, and recording the time. That's usually in the authentication process in the electronic health record. You cannot use a physician signature stamp, so that's not permitted in the use to authenticate a record for scribed entries. The authentication must take place before the physician and the scribe leave the patient care area. So it can't be done after the fact. That a scribe means that they are there with you. And you also cannot, you know, delegate to another physician or licensed independent practitioner that authentication. It has to be done by the physician who the scribe is acting in with. So that, you know, it's really kind of there's a lot of nuances there, and there's a lot of details that you have to follow, because if it's ever looked at and they shadow you, you have to be able to be very clear that you're following the requirements put out by the Joint Commission and also by Medicare. You know, the organization determines, you know, how the scribe can enter information into the medical record, how they enter those orders, practitioners who provide the orders scribed, and they also want to make sure that that's protected. Authentication includes the physician's signature by electronic or manual means, and then the date and time as well. So, you know, the medical practice should implement performance improvement process. I talk about that every once in a while. You know, make sure that they're not acting outside their job description, and that no orders are being acted on before they're authenticated. You can also really look at this from, you know, relative value units per hour a shift, number of patients seen per hour a shift, clinical versus administrative time, average charge per billable visit. So here's kind of what we did. We just, you know, and I, the one thing about scribes that's tough is, and I say this in conversation because I don't want, you know, if there's physicians listening in, which I know there are, and I appreciate the download, you know, you want to be careful not to just kind of get lazy with what you're doing with your documentation. It's great to have a scribe for assistance, but nothing takes the place of the physician. So here's an example of something that happened recently. And I got this from a friend of mine who basically, he said, you know, I needed to go into the physician's office, and he was a physician. And he said, here's what happened. So he said, he went into his dermatologist's office, Dr. X, and they use LPN, so licensed practical nurses, as their scribes, which is a little bit controversial, but okay. And they basically, you know, use them as 75% of their work, if you really listen to what happened. So the medical assistant brought the physician into an exam room, and again, that's the patient. They collected and entered vitals, meds, and, you know, any pertinent recent medical history that ancillary staff can you know, provide. Then the physician, Dr. X, comes in, checked the patient from head to toe, indicates pertinent findings. So they did the physical exam, finished the history. While the doctor is providing that service, the LPN, the scribe, entered this into the medical record, didn't really say much. When an excision was then needed, which is what the doctor determined on the skin, that was recorded, implements of how the, you know, destruction was going to be used. And the doctor related that information to the LPN. Well, the doctor then went into the next exam room to see another patient, said they will return in a few minutes. Then the medical assistant prepared the surgical tray. Then the doctor returned, excised, you know, the lesion for that physician, and then goes on to her next patient. Well, what was interesting is then, you know, the LPN finished up, and they, meaning finished up, entered the rest of the information into the system. Basically, you know, what they found, you know, the parameters of the excision, you know, the length times width, you know, if they're going to send it to pathology, and then also help suture up the area for this physician. And even though the whole process, you know, the doctor told me was remarkably smooth, patient focused, unrushed, you know, and then the doctor did not enter anything. It was all done by this LPN. This is a problem because the doctor left before it was completed. The LPN finished up the clinical portion of this visit, and that's a problem. So, you know, it would have stopped when the doctor left the room. And if that's the case, or if the doctor stayed in the room, finished up the procedure, you know, did the bandaging of the patient, and then told the scribe, who again was just there for administrative purposes, even though it was an LPN, what to put into the system based on, you know, her work, basically live dictation, then this was something that could have been, you know, utilized as a scribe information. Right now, that there's no scribe information past the time the doctor left the room. So what do you do with that procedure if the doctor wasn't, you know, dictating that or letting the scribe know, or if the scribe did now clinical work above and beyond what the medical assistant did as well? So that one, it was really tough to hear because, you know, as an auditor, I'm thinking, oh boy, So let's just say that, you know, you did do it the correct way. Okay. So you did do it the correct way and the physician, you know, did not leave until they were supposed to. So let's just look at the cost and see if this would have been a good return on investment if this did happen. So let's say a scribe makes $20 an hour, which is typical, 20 to 24 usually. So wages would be about 160 for an 8-hour day. You add on the cost of benefits, including taxes, vacations, retirement plan, because they're going to be a FTE, full-time employee, 20 to 23%. So we'll use 20% as a threshold. So you'd add on about $32 of a, you know, that's about 20% of $160 a day in wages. So your daily cost is about $192. So you're looking at hourly wage times hours work, which is wages, wages and benefit percentage, benefits cost and wages plus benefits cost, that's your cost. So then you calculate incremental revenues. So this requires determining how many more patients the provider could possibly see give in a given period of time by using a scribe. Is it making them more efficient? Is it adding time in their day that they don't have to document? I would bet it is. So I would suspect that the improved productivity probably lets the physician see maybe twice as many if they're not doing their own documentation. Documentation takes a long time. So multiply that figure by your average reimbursement, not how much you charge, what you get paid, for your typical office follow-up visit. So let's say it was a 99213 and she gets maybe $70 for that. Then you have everything you need to calculate your incremental revenues. So 8 extra patients a day at around $70-$73 a day is about $580 in incremental revenue. And so now you're looking at that respectively. So you have your about 580, you have your 192 for your scribe. And so now you're looking at a positive return on investment, about $392 per day. So if you look at that analyzed over a 240 work days in a year, you're looking at about $94,000 of bottom line profit that your physician now is being able to add into their practice. So this doesn't also consider the impact on patient care, accuracy of the documentation, both of which has to be considered. You know, the physician's focus and attention on the patient and not on the computer screen is going to be huge. Plus a couple of different bonuses here is that you're going to meet all of your meaningful use, your macro, your MIPS, your PQRS information, other quality measures. So that's going to help you get those bonuses for that. Also, I would assume that the physician's, you know, schedule probably opens up and there's access, patient access has improved because of these, you know, not only the requirements, but also following those requirements to the letter. Now, I want to look at some pros and cons because there are a couple things that you have to keep in mind when using a scribe. So the one thing that wasn't mentioned in that visit was lack of privacy. So having the extra person in the room could decrease what the patient feels comfortable in revealing. You know, working in some family practice and cardiology practices, patients often want to reveal very personal, emotional information. And multiple patients, you know, have related in the past that they felt a little bit inhibited when there's an extra person in the room that isn't the physician. So it does speed things up, but you have to make sure that patient care is still your focus. And then just from an auditing perspective, I want to make sure that you're clear that, you know, it says within that scenario I gave, the physician finishes up and left the room. You know, you have to know what happened to that lesion removal. You know, what does finishing up mean? And, you know, what was the LPN doing? Were they doing clinical work on the patient? This is where you have to be careful, because if you look at a CMS carrier, one of the big ones, Noridian and WPS, Wisconsin Physician Services, they actually have in their jurisdiction Part 8 in their regulation, as it says, a scribe is someone who, quote, does not act independently, but simply documents a physician's dictation and our activities during the visit. You know, also Novitas and Noridian say the same thing. You have to be careful that those policies are very, very clear on what they can't do. They indicate the scribe may not have clinical responsibilities in addition to acting as a scribe, which makes sense if the scribe is, you know, a live dictation machine pretty much. So be careful with that, because that's going to be where the downfall is for scribes, and making sure that you are compliant, you know, in the use of a scribe. Now, the other thing is that, you know, I really like I really like the thought of a scribe, but sometimes they can take a long time to train. You know, they enter the room with the physician. The physician identifies them to patients. They listen as they interview, as the physician interviews about their complaints. And then, you know, the scribe documents while the physician makes eye contact. And that's a lot. I think that's something that's lacking in medicine right now. And since everyone is glued to their computer screens, as I mentioned. So as the physician examines the patient in systematic or consistent with, you know, their orders, and, you know, the physician saying, you know, findings, your own coach, he listens to the plan. And then when they leave the room, the doctor has to go over diagnosis codes and billing and to allow the scribe to enter the orders and scripts and x-rays and labs and all that. If there's DME, you know, all that into the system. But there's still things that the doctor has to sign off on. They need to review at the end of the day or review, you know, at lunchtime. But they have to still review a lot of information. So scribes can be a very effective tool, but also and allow you to speak to patients while you scribe and find all the boxes to check and everything. But know that there is a training part that is going to be a little bit frustrating. So when you use them, you also have to have an attestation, which is a statement in your medical record describing, you know, that they're acting as a scribe in the presence of the provider. And that has to be part of that electronic medical record. So you just don't want to oversimplify it, meaning that you're just having, you know, the benefit of the scribe without really following the rules, the regulations, and setting up a model as far as how you're going to use the idea of having somebody really provide that live dictation experience for your physician. So there are a lot of different practices that it may work for. I know it does work in, you know, certain specialty practices. It's a little bit more complex in internal medicine and family practice. You need to make sure that you're understanding the CMS documentation guideline in regard to scribes and understanding that it is not a mid-level provider, and really be careful as far as making sure that this is a solution to, you know, what your physicians need, because you're finding that your documentation is just not passing, you know, what you need for audits, and that the scribe is an idea that you're thinking, okay, we need to tighten this up now. And there is a return on investment because doctors can now go room to room. They can capture more, maybe new patient visits, but utilize the scribe in the way I've discussed. And if you don't, then you could run into some issues and there could be some areas there that could be a problem. But hopefully in what we discussed today, you can see the return on investment if you choose to utilize a scribe. And that will help you with some reimbursements in the future. Next week, we're going to discuss advanced care planning and some revenue opportunities. So hopefully everybody will join us next week. Remember, we drop every Tuesday of each week. So again, thank you very much for listening today, and we'll see you next time.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at TerryCoder1 or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer Dasassin Music.